Beach Isle. That's on our website right now, and is very interesting, giving his experience of being with Ajahn Chah. And then there's a couple more here that would be, I think, quite nice to put up and for people to see. One is by Senior Monk Ajahn Thun, and he's a monk who his family came from the same village that Ajahn Chah came from. So Ajahn Chah knew his parents and his aunts and uncles and brothers and sisters, so that he knew the whole family. And then when he came and ordained, they had moved away, and they were actually very wealthy landowners in an adjacent province. So he had a pretty comfortable upbringing, and he had a lot to go back to if he wanted to, as a layperson, if he left the robes. So that he found practice really difficult, he found training very difficult, and actually for quite a few years, at the end of the Rains Retreat, it was almost turned into a ritual of Ajahn Thun coming with a tray of candles, incense, and flowers, with a little bag with his jeans and his t-shirt, take leave of Ajahn Chah, to leave the robes and go back to the world. And he said, I asked for Lumpa Cha for permission to disrobe many times. He would allow the other monks who came with me to disrobe, but not myself. He told me that we could talk with him a little while, and then asked the other monks who were there to go and join the chanting in the meeting hall. After that, he told me that I could go and give a massage at his kuti. I didn't know how to massage, and when I had finished, Lumpa said that it hurt worse than before. Then he gave me a dasana, saying, "Can't you throw it away for just one lifetime? I'll help you throw it away. I've thrown it away just the same. Take this in exchange for your life. Hand over your body and life to the Buddha, the Dhamma, and the Noble Sangha for just one lifetime. Throw everything else away and let the world have it." I just sat there listening with my hands in Anjali. Afterwards, he used a soft stick, saying, "You have to lure it as you would a small dog. If you still can't catch it, then toss a ball of rice at it, so that it will keep chasing after you. Then one day you'll be able to catch it." He compared it in this way. So it was just the kept... he said, Lumpa Cha would often mention Lumpa Thongrat and Lumpa Kinrali. These were Ajahn Chah's teachers, as examples of using strategy to subdue the defilements. He gave me the example of when Lumpa Thongrat wanted to disrobe. Lumpa Thongrat would go in the middle of the forest alone and cry out, "Come and look at the monk who wants to disrobe him." Finally, Lumpa Cha told me to walk Jonkro without stopping, walking meditation. Put forth effort without stopping. I held on to what he said and hid away to memorize the Padimokkha alone in the middle of the forest. Lumpa Cha gave me the name Venerable Burning Fire because my mind was hot. Even when I couldn't grab a foothold in meditation, I still forced myself to do it. Now that I'm more than 60 years old, things have become cool and I understand my debt of gratitude towards my teacher. He lured this little dog to the point where it was able to stay until the present day. I was just a little dog. Wherever I am, thinking of this, my tears flow. It's a very beautiful recollection of Ajahn Chah. That I remember Ajahn Thun talking about that, where sometimes he'd come with his trains, and sometimes Ajahn Chah would talk him out of it, sometimes he'd encourage him, sometimes he'd admonish him. He said, "Sometimes," he said, "I come towards Ajahn Chah with my train, And I just about get to his kuti, and he'd get up and walk away and disappear. for many monks who came like that, then he just go, give them encouragement, go back, keep the precepts. But he really felt that somebody like Ajahn Tun was somebody to try to keep in the robes, and he was able to do that. Kind of respect that Ajahn Tun had for him, he was able to get him through. Now he's really one of the very respected senior teachers in the Ajahn Chah tradition.